Retirement. The golden chapter of life. A phase filled with rewards that we have worked so hard for. Rewards we have planned for and saved money for. No more Monday blues. No clocking on and off. No stuffy formal clothes or uniforms. No more early morning road rage. Your time is finally yours again. All 24 hours of your day are yours to use, however you choose. It's a time to cherish moments with your family, forging deeper connections and savoring the joy of quality time. Shared meals, creating new memories. Life's simple pleasures are magnified. In the symphony of togetherness, retirement should be a harmonious celebration of the bonds that truly matter. Unless those bonds are already broken. This is the story of Herman Rowenhorst. This is True Crime Kenya. Herman Rowenhorst was born on 25th November 1966 in Apeldoorn, a small city in the Netherlands located about 1 hour east of Amsterdam. Herman grew up and completed his education in Apeldoorn alongside his parents and younger brother Willem Rowenhorst, after which he got married and had 3 children. Media reports indicate that Herman and Willem had a close relationship and the siblings ran a successful timber mill together for about 30 years. In about 2006, and having recently gone through a divorce, 40-year-old Herman Rowenhorst visited a travel agent to book his first holiday to Mombasa on the Kenyan coast. Alluring and unforgettable, the Kenyan coast offers a distinctive blend of culture and nature set against the backdrop of the salty, warm Indian Ocean. The entire Kenyan coastal region experiences warm temperatures and a high level of humidity throughout the year, which makes it an attractive holiday destination for European tourists looking to escape icy winters. Swahili architecture is a prominent feature of the Kenyan coastal region, characterized by coral stone buildings, ornate wooden doors, and intricately carved window frames. The coastal cuisine is another prominent feature of the Kenyan coast, with tiny local open-air restaurants known as vibanda located between touristy souvenir shops and kaftan vendors. The scent of spices wafts through the air as the call to prayer resonates from beautifully designed mosques. In contrast to the calm and relaxed coastal atmosphere, the Kenyan coast is also known for its party atmosphere. Walking down the streets, you can hear the sounds of music, laughter, and the drunken chatter of tourists and locals interacting at the various bars, clubs, and hotel chains. On the beach, time slows down, giving way to an atmosphere of relaxation and rejuvenation. I'm pretty sure that the Swahili phrase Hakuna Matata was coined here, and it literally does mean no worries, a vibe that is evident the minute you arrive. Kenyans from the coast are known to be very easygoing, hospitable, and captivating storytellers known for their endless flattery and exaggeration. And yes, this is your sign to visit the Kenyan coast. But I digress. It is very easy to feel at home here. And Herman, described by his family as easygoing and friendly, quickly got on a first-name basis with the local bartenders and restaurant staff. Herman fell in love with the Kenyan coast. He also fell in love with the people. Herman met Riziki Cherono Ali in Mombasa during his first holiday there. Young, beautiful, and carefree, Riziki was exactly what he needed, and they quickly began to spend days on end together, touring the Kenyan coast and engaging in his favorite pastime, fishing. They spent an exciting and romantic few weeks together before Herman returned to the Netherlands, smitten by Kenya and giddy about his new relationship. Herman began planning his next trip to Mombasa. He couldn't wait to see Riziki again. After a short time, Herman began to travel to Kenya more frequently, and his relationship with Riziki grew stronger. In 2007, and just over a year into their relationship, Riziki gave birth to their first child, a daughter. They were married in 2008, and a year later, they welcomed their second daughter. Finally, in 2015, after a lengthy long-distance relationship and years of juggling between two continents, Herman made the decision to sell his share of the family timber mill and retire to Kenya to enjoy his retirement with his new young family. Apprehensive of his decision, Herman's family could not understand why he would choose to leave Europe and move to Africa. Herman explained that he had encountered several Europeans who had made the same decision, having fallen in love with Africa's stunning coastal landscapes and relaxed pace of life. He was also motivated by the significantly lower cost of living and the strength of the euro, which meant that, after selling his portion of the family business and other assets, Herman was a Kenyan multi-millionaire. Over the years, Herman built an empire. He established nightclubs in Kilifi and Mombasa and was also a real estate investor. He owned a rental investment, a residential home where he lived with his young family, and had grown to be among the wealthiest entrepreneurs in the region. Herman was living his retirement dream.
Meanwhile, police in Mombasa are investigating the murder of a foreign national in Shanzu. The victim's body, identified as Herman Rowenhorst, a Dutch national, was discovered lifeless in his apartment. According to preliminary investigations, Herman was abducted and tortured before his life was cut short.
At 7 a.m. on Friday, 4th June, 2021, an unidentified person called Bamburi Police Station to report that they had found a woman screaming in a car parked outside the Serena Beach Hotel. On arriving at the scene, police officers found a woman strapped tightly into the driver's seat of the vehicle with her hands bound firmly with rope to the steering wheel of the car. The officers untied the woman, who identified herself as Riziki Cherono Ali. She frantically explained that she had been abducted from her home and driven to this location by three men, who had then tied her to the steering wheel and abandoned the vehicle. She said that the men had forced her to drive away from her own house after attacking her family in the dead of night. She pleaded with the police to check on her husband and children who were still in the house, fearing that they were in danger. The police officers responded immediately, placing her in their vehicle, and Riziki directed them to her home at Rocco Apartments, about 10 minutes away from Serena Hotel. There, they found her husband, Herman Roenhorst, lying on the couple's bed, covered in blood. Herman's hands and legs were bound with multiple ropes, and it appeared that he had suffered multiple stab wounds to the back of his neck and head. A sock or piece of cloth had been stuffed in his mouth and throat, and a gag placed over it. The bloody scene showed signs of a violent struggle, and the house appeared to have been ransacked. There was a safe in the bedroom, which appeared to have been broken open and completely emptied. After checking his vital signs, the police officers confirmed that Herman Roenhorst was dead. Outside the apartment, police found the property's night guard, identified as Evans Bokoro. Evans lay unconscious and bleeding. He was rushed to the hospital, but later succumbed to his injuries and was also pronounced dead. Herman's two daughters, aged 12 and 14 at the time of the incident, were found in their bedroom. The girls were terrified, inconsolable, but to everyone's relief, they were physically unharmed. The regional police commissioner, John Elungata, spoke to the media, urging residents not to panic and promising a thorough investigation.
The officers found her in a vehicle with her hands tied to the steering wheel. It was then when the officers also discovered that Herman had been murdered.
This is an isolated incident, not something that will cause people to panic. It's not what we see in Kisauni most of the time, but it's something like an organized thing, because this is somebody who was picked out from among his neighbors. He has many neighbors, he has many clients, he has, all people around him, but you find that he's the only one who was killed.
Police say that the deceased had been severely injured with hands and legs tied to his bed. He was bleeding profusely, with preliminary reports revealing that he had just been killed. The officer's father revealed that a lady from another area picked up the deceased before being driven to his apartment, where he was allegedly tortured before being killed.
We are looking inside and also outside his household to see whether there's a connection. And we'll soon get somebody who is responsible for this crime. So there should be no reason for alarm. All the security officers who are responsible out there, and we'll soon have an answer.
A security guard was also assaulted. The guard, known as Evans, was rushed to Coast Provincial General Hospital, where he succumbed to the injuries. Police are now appealing to members of the public to come forward with information regarding the incident as the search for the killers intensifies. No one has been arrested over the incident yet, but police are piecing together information which they say is very crucial to their investigation, as the details will lead them to uncover the identity of the killers. Kevin Mutai, NTV, in Shanzu, Mombasa County.
On hearing the news, Herman's family in the Netherlands was devastated. His brother, Willem, spoke to Dutch media outlet De Telegraaf and said, quote, "It is a huge shock for the family. Everyone is devastated. You just don't believe what you hear. That something like this happened to him is simply terrible. You can always die from illness or an accident, but this," end quote. When asked if Herman had been involved in any criminal activity, his brother Willem said, quote, "He had a good life in Kenya and did not need to work. Herman was winding down. a normal man who liked a beer. Fishing was his great hobby. My brother has never done wrong things and was not involved in the criminal circuit. He wasn't the man for that either." End quote. Herman led a peaceful life, had no known enemies, and his family insisted that he was never involved in any criminal activity. This immediately raised questions about the potential motives behind his murder. It was clear to police that whoever killed Herman had taken a large amount of money from the safe. But the level of violence inflicted upon him appeared excessive. Detectives were also puzzled as to why the robbers chose to drive Riziki away from the house during the murder, only to leave her in a location just 3 kilometers away. In their opinion, robbers who took victims away from the house often took them to ATM machines to withdraw more money from their accounts or to commit sexual assault at a different location. However, Riziki had escaped completely unharmed, while Herman had violently lost his life. It didn't make sense. The next morning, 5 detectives from Bamburi Police Station took Riziki to their station for interrogation. Riziki said that on the night of Herman's death, she was at home with her family. Her teenage daughters were in their room, and she and Herman were in bed, drifting off to sleep, when 6 men stormed into the house. Riziki told detectives that 3 of the men dragged her out of the house and forced her into her husband's car, while the other 3 ransacked the house. When asked if they were armed, Riziki vaguely recalled that the men were carrying blunt objects. She explained that, after forcing her into the car, the men made her drive to the Serena Beach Hotel, 3 kilometers away from her home. When they got closer to the hotel, the men directed her to a bushy area at the back of the hotel, where they tied her hands to the steering wheel and disappeared into the night. Panicked, Riziki screamed at the top of her lungs for what felt like hours until passers-by finally came, called the police, and rescued her. After questioning Riziki, police questioned her 2 daughters who had been in the house for the entire duration of the robbery and murders of Herman and the night watchman, Evans. The children, aged 12 and 14, recalled that on the night of the murder, they were woken from their sleep when they heard some strange rattling sounds. One of them peeped outside their room and saw their mother, Riziki, opening the doors for 3 unknown men. The 3 men headed straight to the master bedroom, and a few minutes later, the children heard their father screaming. One of the children told the police, quote, "As we prepared to go to their bedroom to check what was going on, we realized that our bedroom door had been locked from the outside and we could not leave the room," end quote. They waited in horror when suddenly all was calm again in the apartment. Quote, "There was silence in the house. Our mother escorted the 3 men and drove off with them," end quote, the children stated. When asked whether their parents had been experiencing any financial or marital issues, the children disclosed that their father had recently asked their mother for a divorce after 13 years of marriage. They said that their mother was not pleased about this request. The children stated, quote, "They were fighting often. Our dad told us that he would no longer live with my mother, but would continue to take care of us." End quote. After considering the children's statements, police cast serious doubts on Riziki's version of events. On 24th June 2021, Bamburi police arrested Riziki Cherono Ali on suspicion of murder.
The investigators have now come full circle after his wife Riziki Cherono was arrested as a co-conspirator in the murder just days after the tragic double homicide.
Please stay tuned for part 2 of this story on episode 4 of True Crime Kenya. True Crime Kenya is produced by Pitcher Media. Research, writing and editing by DM Noor. Narrated by DM Noor. Theme song by Just a Band. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Oh,